This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we'll take a look back at Game Week 17. We'll run through the key performers and results, and I'll give you my star and flop of the week. And then we turn to Game Week 18. We'll run through the fixture list. I'll talk some informed players with good fixtures. We'll talk potential transfers, captaincy, any differentials, and we'll finish off as always with my likely team ahead of the game week. So let's get into it. Right then, the game weeks are coming thick and fast, so I'll run through the results and key performers for game week 17 as quickly as possible. We started off with Nottingham Forest 0, Spurs 2. The goals came from Kulusevski and Richarlison, Kulusevski also getting an assist. Chelsea 2, Sheffield United 0. Goals from Nicholas Jackson and Cole Palmer, assists came from Sterling and Cole Palmer. Manchester City 2, Crystal Palace 2, goals for City from Grealish and Rico Lewis and a Phil Foden assist. And Crystal Palace earned themselves that draw at the Etihad through goals from Mateta and Olise, Mateta and Schlupp each registering an assist as well. Newcastle 3, Fulham 0, goals came from Almiron, Dan Burn and Lewis Miley, the youngster also getting on the score sheet, assists from Anthony Gordon and Bruno Guimaraes. Burnley 0, Everton 2. Goals came from Keane and Onana with an assist from Dwight McNeil. Arsenal 2, Brighton 0. The goals came from Kai Havertz and Gabriel Jesus and Nketiah registering an assist. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 2. Lewis Potter getting the consolation for Brentford, but Alex Moreno and Ollie Watkins were on the score sheet to continue Aston Villa's great run of form, Bailey and Kamara registering assists. West Ham 3, Wolves 0. Two goals from Mohamed Kudus and one from Jared Bowen, the two key goal threats for West Ham. Lucas Paqueta with a hat-trick of assists. And rounding off the game week, we had a bit of a damp squib. It was Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0. Looking at candidates for Star of the Week now, Cole Palmer, Kulusevski and Paqueta all registering 14-point returns. They get honourable mentions. But Star of the Week for Game Week 17 goes to West Ham's Mohamed Kudus. Two goals for him. 16-point return makes him the top FPL point scorer of the game week, and he gets Star of the Week. As for Flop of the Week, there was only really one standout candidate for me, and he's gone from hero to zero. It's Fulham striker Raul Jimenez. His 21 minutes on the pitch were ended by a red card that was definitely deserved for a absolutely horrendous challenge that looked like something out of a Bruce Lee movie. Definitely not what Fulham needed early on in the game, and what followed was three goals conceded and defeat at St James's Park. So Jimenez gets Flop of the Week. Right then, let's turn our attentions now to Game Week 18. The deadline for this game week is Thursday, the 21st of December at 6:30 p.m. UK time. Don't let this early deadline catch you out. Let's quickly run through the fixture list. Crystal Palace versus Brighton is that Thursday night fixture. Then on the Friday, we've got Aston Villa against Sheffield United. And then Saturday sees West Ham host Manchester United in the early kickoff. And then Fulham host Burnley, Luton take on Newcastle, Nottingham Forest versus Bournemouth, Spurs against Everton and Liverpool versus Arsenal. And Sunday rounds off game week 18 with Wolves versus Chelsea. First thing of note to mention for game week 18 is that it is a blank game week for Manchester City and Brentford. I can't imagine too many FPL managers have too many Brentford players, especially since Mbeumo's injury. But there will be a few that will have some Manchester City FPL assets, so bear that in mind when you're constructing your team for game week 18. Couple of key standout fixtures this week. Villa are at home against Sheffield United and they are in great form at Villa Park. I believe it's 15 games on the spin that they have won at home. And that is very much expected to continue with a pretty favourable fixture in game week 18 with Sheffield United coming to town. Newcastle are away at Luton. And whilst Newcastle have injuries and fatigue to be concerned with, this is still a pretty favourable fixture and we would expect Newcastle to get a result here. And Spurs at home to Everton might be trickier than usual with a slightly revived Everton side at the moment, but Spurs too seem to be returning to some pretty good form, creating lots of chances, and I believe they are now the only team left in the league that have scored in every game so far this season. Liverpool and Arsenal is a pretty tricky one to predict. Arsenal have been one of the strongest teams in the league defensively, but Liverpool at home are usually pretty lethal in front of goal. They just put 5 past West Ham in midweek in the League Cup, so they've very much got back to goal scoring ways after being held in a very frustrating game against Manchester United. So perhaps this will be a good game for attacking assets from both sides. So, with those fixtures in mind, let's discuss some potential transfers in and out. And the first thing that's worth considering is Haaland's fitness. If you've already sold him, then you're likely going to want him back as soon as he's fit again, which could potentially be as soon as game week 19, where Manchester United face Everton away. Now that is on December the 27th, so there is enough time for Haaland to nurse his way back to fitness and get back into that Manchester City side. However, we are yet to see pictures of him training again. We're yet to hear any information on his fitness from Pep, and until we get some clues on that, we're unlikely to be spending that kind of money bringing Haaland back in. If he's not back in time for that Everton fixture in game week 19, or we don't want to bring him back in straight away, it could be worth holding off until game week 20 when Manchester City face Sheffield United at home. Everton away isn't exactly the easiest of fixtures at the moment. And game week 19 does actually have some pretty decent alternative captaincy options, such as Salah away at Burnley, Son away at Brighton, or even Saka at home to West Ham. So it doesn't feel like it's an absolute necessity that you bring Haaland back immediately if he is available for game week 19. As I say, Everton away isn't as easy a fixture as it has been in the past, so it might be okay to hold off until game week 20 and then bring him back in. Of course, if you have kept Haaland throughout this injury and you haven't sold him yet, you really don't need to worry about any of this. You can keep him on your bench. Definitely hold on to him now, as it does sound like it's not going to be too long before he's back playing again. But we just need to see him back in training again to be sure. Now, why am I talking all this Haaland chat in a game week where Manchester City are blanking? Well, the main reason is because you need to be careful how you're spending your money elsewhere in your squad this week. Because if you do want to bring Haaland back in game week 19, you need to be careful what money you leave in the bank in game week 18. If you go and spend big in your midfield or your defence this week, then you run the risk of having to take a hit next week if you really do want to bring Haaland back. So that is the caveat that I thought I should lead with before we discuss potential transfers in and out. Now then, teams with good fixtures right now. 3 teams that I think we should be looking at: Villa, Chelsea and Spurs, for various different reasons. Villa purely based on the form, Chelsea purely based on the fixtures, and Spurs a little from both. Now, you could look at a Villa double up. Most people already have Watkins. Partnering him with someone like a Diaby is a very appealing option. You could also look at John McGinn, who has been fantastic getting further forward this season in the middle of the park. And also Douglas Luiz, who is back after his suspension. And with him also being on penalties, set pieces, corners, there are lots of routes to points for Douglas Luiz, so another good option there. Villa's next 6 fixtures are Sheffield United, Manchester United, Burnley, Everton, Newcastle and Sheffield United again. So pretty favourable fixture run there, and their form, especially at home, has been fantastic. Even away from home, there's all this talk about home form being so good, but I think they're about sixth in the form table, I believe, even away from home. And that is the reason why they're so high up in the league at the moment. So nothing wrong with a Villa double up, even a potential triple up if you're looking potentially at a cheap option defensively, like someone like a Pau Torres. So Villa have the form at the moment, and Chelsea definitely have the fixtures. They've had a couple of good fixtures already, and the next four are Wolves, Crystal Palace, Luton and Fulham. Now, there's one player in Chelsea's team at the moment who is starting to become an absolute must-have when it comes to FPL, and that man is Cole Palmer. I did have my concerns a couple of weeks back that as some of the players who were injured started to return, his minutes might be under threat. But at the moment, it does seem like he is absolutely integral to what Poch wants from his side. If you don't already have Cole Palmer in your team, he is a very good player to get in. He's regularly returning FPL points at the moment, and I can understand why you might be a little bit reluctant to get him if you missed that original 4.9 million price point a few weeks ago, as paying 5.6 now does feel a little bit like you're jumping on a bandwagon and it's a seemingly inflated price. Look, you just have to forget about that increase and just look at the returns he's getting. He's still massively worth the price. He's delivering for owners, and you're missing out on the points if you don't have him. Even when Chelsea aren't flying on all cylinders, he's still delivering points returns for FPL managers. So at 5.6, he's very much still a great cheap option. And of course, what he offers in terms of flexibility elsewhere on your side is just a huge added bonus. If you're looking at other Chelsea options, just be careful of Raheem Sterling, as he's currently on four yellows. So he is just one card away from a suspension. And just keep an eye on Christopher Nkunku, who made his first appearance of the season for Chelsea in the League Cup win over Newcastle in midweek. He came off the bench and scored in the penalty shootout. Keep an eye out for him, as he could be exactly what Chelsea have been missing if he can start putting away those Chelsea chances. Now, speaking of that midweek fixture between Chelsea and Newcastle, Anthony Gordon owners will have been very concerned seeing their man go down very early in that game, clutching his ankle. It looked like he rolled it under a challenge, and he's now a big injury doubt for this game week. So it could be time to look at some midfield replacements. And if you are strapped for cash, then the aforementioned Cole Palmer at Chelsea is very much the perfect replacement for sure. I know it might feel like a bit of a sideways or boring move with so many people already having him or bringing him in this week, but it really does feel like a bit of a no-brainer given that price point and what he allows you to do elsewhere in your team as a result of that. If you want to stick with a Newcastle option, you could potentially switch to someone like an Almiron, who seems to be starting most games under Eddie Howe at the moment, but he is often subbed early. He's definitely not a guaranteed 90-minute man, so be wary of that. Other affordable options include Douglas Luiz and John McGinn, as I mentioned earlier, at Villa. And you could even look at Brighton's Mitoma at 6.5 million, a slightly more pricey option. He hasn't exactly set the world alight like he was doing last season at Brighton, but Brighton's fixtures over the next couple of months could see that form improve quite drastically. They've got Palace this week and then Spurs the week after. And then the run is really appealing. They've got West Ham, Wolves, couple of mid-table sides there, and then it's a lot of relegation fighting sides. They've got Luton, Sheffield United, Everton, Fulham and Forest. That run takes them all the way up to the 16th of March before they face Manchester City. So a really nice run for the next couple of months for Brighton. So Mitoma could well be a nice long-term option. If you want to go a bit cheaper, they've also got Adingra. He's just 5 million. He started the last 10 league games in a row. So another good attacking option for Brighton there as well. There's also a couple of options at Spurs. Tottenham, one of the sides that have both good fixtures and are returning to some pretty good form. Couple of options for midfielders. Richarlison, who's actually playing as a centre forward, if not out on the left, and also Kulusevski. Richarlison is 6.7 million. He's got 3 goals in his last two, and he will likely get very good game time now that he's back from injury, especially when Son goes to the Asian Cup in January. And Kulusevski, another great option. He's 7.1, so a little more pricey. He is an absolute guarantee of minutes. I think he's actually got the most minutes in FPL so far this season. And most of Tottenham's creativity is coming through him, both either in a central role or out on the right. It does feel like he deserves perhaps a few more FPL points than he's returned so far this season. But the underlying stats are pretty good. Things like chances created are very high for Kulusevski. And normally when those numbers are looking good, the points soon follow. So plenty of room for more points returns from Kulusevski. And a couple of final options I'll throw into the mix for midfielders, Bowen and Kudus, both at West Ham. The fixtures here are not great. They've got Manchester United and Arsenal in the next two, but they do have Brighton, Sheffield United and Bournemouth after them. Bowen is quite pricey at 7.8, but he is West Ham's main goal threat, and I'd probably slightly prefer him over Kudus at 6.7. They are both good options. I think if you're tempted by someone like Kudus at 6.7, it feels like you'd probably be better off spending the money on Richarlison, who is the same price and probably a slightly better goal threat. Just down to the fact that Spurs are going to create a few more chances than West Ham on any given game week. But if you do fancy a West Ham player, then Jarrod Bowen is the preferred choice. Okay, time to look now at a couple of differentials. The first one I'm putting forward is Crystal Palace midfielder Eze. He's 6 million, 2.8% owned, and Palace face Brighton at home in game week 18. He's just come back from injury. He came off the bench in the draw against Manchester City in the dying minutes where Elise took the penalty. I would imagine that Eze will be back on penalties. I think just because he had only just took to the field, Elise was given spot kick duties in that fixture. But normally it is Eze, and I would imagine he'll be back on them going forwards. Speaking of Elise, he is my second pick for a differential. If you're unsure about Eze's immediate return to form coming back from injury, then Elise is the next man in line to create something for Crystal Palace. The fixtures for Palace after this Brighton fixture see them face Chelsea, Brentford, Arsenal, and then Sheffield United and Brighton. So a fairly mixed bag, but definitely a few teams there that concede goals. So good opportunities for Crystal Palace's main two attacking threats in Eze and Elise. And the third differential I'm going to put forward is Callum Wilson at Newcastle. He's 7.8 million. If you've got some spare money from a Haaland sale burning your pocket at the moment, then perhaps the man that's currently covering for Isak, who's injured, is a good choice. He's just 4.6% owned, and whilst Isak is injured, it makes Wilson a very viable short-term option. I say short-term, and I definitely do mean short-term, because once Isak is fit again, then obviously Wilson's minutes do become much more limited. No guarantees of any starts at all. I mean, when Wilson plays, he always does look good for a goal and some FPL returns. And that's why I quite like him as a differential over the next couple of game weeks. If Isak misses the next two, then Wilson facing Luton and Nottingham Forest feels like a great short-term punt on a really low-owned striker whilst Haaland is out. And with so many FPL managers going with Watkins and Solanke as their preferred front two, Callum Wilson seems like a great way to set your team apart from the rest of your mini league. Right then, let's talk captaincy. And we've actually got a decision that we need to make. With Haaland out injured, we've got to figure out who's getting the armband. So Ollie Watkins at Aston Villa looks to me like the best option. Villa have Sheffield United at home, one of the favourable fixtures of the season. So Watkins is definitely the front runner at the moment. Mohamed Salah has been very consistent all season, but blanking last game week against Manchester United and with Liverpool facing a pretty decent Arsenal defence in game week 18, this makes me think that Salah is not necessarily guaranteed the points, and I'd probably back Ollie Watkins to outscore him in this game week. I'd also say that Son at home to Everton is a pretty good option as well, but this little revival from Everton at the moment makes me think that Spurs will have a tougher game than they would perhaps normally, and it won't be easy for Heung-min Son at all. So at the moment, my favourite for the armband this week is Ollie Watkins. Right then, time to look at my likely team ahead of game week 18. In goal, I've gone for Dubravka at Newcastle, who are away at Luton. And doubling up my Newcastle defence, I've also got Lascelles in a back three. So hopefully a couple of clean sheets if they can keep Luton out. Also in that defence, I've got Pedro Porro at home against Everton. And I've got a choice here between Tsimikas and Gabriel. And I'm going for Tsimikas. I think that Arsenal and Liverpool will both score in this fixture, so not too much clean sheet potential. I've opted for Tsimikas based on the fact that Liverpool are at home, and also I think that Tsimikas has a slightly higher chance of an attacking return compared to Gabriel. So Gabriel goes onto my bench. My midfield five will be Salah at home against Arsenal, Son at home against Everton, Saka away at Liverpool, and Cole Palmer away at Wolves. And I'm going to sell this week Hwang Hee-chan, and I'm going to bring in Richarlison at Spurs for a Tottenham triple up at home against Everton. And a front two of Dominic Solanke away at Wolves and Ollie Watkins at home against Sheffield United, who also dons the captain's armband. So there you have it. There's my team ahead of game week 18. A reminder once again that the deadline for this game week is Thursday, the 21st of December at 6:30 p.m. UK time. So don't miss it. Good luck to everyone this week chasing a green arrow. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at AndyJAudio or at OneStopFPL. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.